You know, Connie and I were blessed this morning about 7 o'clock. And coming in our bedroom was a little guy. He stands about this tall, almost 5 years old in August. And he comes in and he says in his own little voice that he can say, "Happy Mother's Day, Nana, and I love you, G-Pa." Well, it may be Mother's Day, but Daddy's, this one's had Grandpa's Day today too, let me tell you. You know, what a blessing. I mean, what a blessing. Y'all got, I wish I should have videoed that and showed you. And then I got a double blessing, you know, so I got to see my children, spent day with them yesterday, and a lot yesterday morning, and McGriffin, and thank you, Lord, for that privilege and honor. But, and then I got two of them sitting here today, Bethany and Ryan, my son-in-law Ryan and Bethany, and good to have you all, you know. It's good to be here. It's good to have children together on Mother's Day. And so I thank God for that. I just wanted to share with you just a brief message this morning on Proverbs 31, what we've just read, entitled On Being Godly Mothers and Grandmothers, because a lot of our folks in this house, for sure, are grandmothers. 81% of the women today between the ages of 40 and 44 are moms. And most of those moms are called upon to leave their homes as a single mom. And most of those moms are juggling not only a full-time job and, for many cases, multiple jobs in order to make ends meet around the house for their children. Then, as we talked a few minutes ago, there are those biological moms. And then there's some folks, even like Connie and I, who were told we would never, ever be able to have children, that children for us would be a miracle. And God blessed us with two wonderful, wonderful, wonderful children. Then there are others who are in that same predicament, yet they love children. They become second moms. How many of us in this world have referred to our, quote, second mom over the years? When I was in Chattanooga at Brainerd Baptist, I worked so much with the Tennessee Baptist Children's Home and the group home that was there in Chattanooga and still is. And I remember going into those areas and into those homes and relationships I had with those kids and those parents that were in those group homes that stayed with them. They were on 90 days and then off about a month. But can you, they gave their life for those children in a foster type relationship. Either way, it's like our video said a minute ago. It's a mama, folks. It is a mama. Those moms that are stepmoms today that are raising the children of their husband. But either way, whatever responsibility you have, we come to lift you up today, and I hope encourage you as well. I was transferring some video recordings from an old camcorder to digital, to DVD last week, and what precious memories. Con and I, as we looked at that, were looking back at Bethany and Michael when they were like this, and then I remembered, you know, we probably should have opened our own company during those days and called it C&R's Transportation ... Unlimited. Because we were transporters of our children, unlimited. But you know, I thank God for those days when Mom served as a chauffeur and a referee and a sportscaster and encourager, as a family counselor, as a disciplinarian, as a bookkeeper, as a dietitian, as a parent, as a secretary, as a hostess, as a shopper, as a consoler, as a water lady, as a disciple. And Connie served as a friend to our children and still does. So happy birthday, Mom. No, and happy Mother's Day. This past week was my wife's birthday. She is now my age. And so we get to do Mother's Day and birthday together. I won't tell my age. They know it anyway, because I do want to go home with you. I remember my mother used to sit right down there where Austin is, her and Dad. Frances Odine Cheek, the only other lady I ever knew, Cecile, and y'all remember, that was named Odine, was Odine Martin. And I remember my mom and the disciplinarian. Oh, what a disciplinarian she was. But a most loving, incredible mother whom God blessed us with until she died in the mid-90s. But you know what? As I think about my mom and as I think about, I remember her, the bracelet I wear right here is not mine. It's my mother's. And I have worn that since literally in the mid-90s, and that belongs to her. But I wear that every day in her honor because of what she taught me. She taught me many things, but you know, one of the greatest things my mother gave to me was so much love. I could go on and on, but let me just share this with you, was the ability to type. Now, I know that seems very little, but who would have thought in the late 50s, early 60s, where we would be today with computers and keyboards? So by the time I was 7 years old, I was running about 50 to 60 words a minute in the second grade. Because I would go with Mom. She worked with Capra McCall. The building is still there on Sandtown Road at Westside Shopping Center. And she taught me to type then on the old Underwood. Some of you all remember that. And then it went to IBM Selectric. And then we went to electric typewriters. And of course, and you know, when I was finishing my degrees, and especially finishing my doctorate, and so much writing on the dissertation, I would thank God for Mom because of that little gift. Who would have thought that that simple gift would be carried over so much? And there's so many more than that. But we thank God for moms. But what does God want in a mother? What is the godly desire that we should strive for? And I know this is a Mother's Day message, but guys, this is for us too. Where does God want us to go in our working toward perfection? You know, that's discipleship. That's what we're to do. When we become a Christian here, then there is growth that continues until the day we walk into heaven itself. There's that discipleship. We are to strive for perfection. Now, we're not going to be perfect on this earth. We all know that. The only time we're going to achieve that kind of perfection is we stand before only God in heaven. But what are the things that God says needs to be in the life of a godly mother? Well, we go to Proverbs 31. And then if you back up to the first verse, you'll see the word King Lemuel. Now, Lemuel in the Hebrew is a word that means the territory north of Palestine called Massa, M-A-S-S-A. However, scholars today, because when that word in the Hebrew is changed by one little dot almost, it reads Solomon. And today scholars seem to think that Lemuel is another name for Solomon. And in particular, the words, the writer of Proverbs, but the words of his mother. So what Austin read to you, what's in Proverbs 31, are the words of Lemuel, the words of Solomon's mother to Solomon. And so he repeats these here in verse 31. Now, of course, that whole chapter deals with what it means to have a capable wife and who. But I chose these verses because I want to show you real briefly this morning four duals. You know what a dual is? When you describe something, you use two words to describe a specific trait. It's called a dual. And I've got four of those from these verses that I just want to share with you this morning on what it means. Now, none of us are here. None of us have achieved what I'm about to say. We are not perfect. But what are we to do, both moms and dads and everybody in the house, in our spiritual walk with the Lord? What are the things we really need to work on? And as I go through these, I hope you will find one that perhaps you have some strength in, very much so. But then you're going to find one, you see, I'm not so good in that one. And perhaps this next week and these next few weeks, begin working intentionally on changing that part of your relationship as you grow these four duals on being godly mothers and grandmothers. Here's the first one. Strength and honor. Write that one down. Strength and honor. First words out of verse 25 of chapter 31. Strength and honor are her clothing. Now the word strength in Hebrew is the word Oz. It's not the Wizard of Oz. And it's not pronounced ooz, but it's pronounced in the Hebrew just like it says, Oz. But this type strength is used of godly strength. So what Solomon's mom in this case is saying, the mamas need to have a godly strength. She needs to be clothed, her entire body, clothed. The word there even has the connotation of not so much atonement, but similar circumstances, that your entire self is clothed. And then that word honor, adar in Hebrew, it's a word that occurs 29 times in the Old Testament, and 16 of them are in the Proverbs in this case. And the word reflects the glory of God as seen in creation. That's honor. It's a word used to show royalty as that of a king, in particular the royalty of God's faithful moms on the earth. In other words, ladies, here's what God is saying. He's honoring you through your role as a faithful servant of His love on this earth. Strength and honor, dignity, respect. Wow. And that's what He's saying. So the first thing, that when people see you, when moms and dads are out in this world and whatever, the two qualities in the beginning that really mesh together as one are strength and honor. Godly strength and bringing honor to God through your life. Wow. How strong are you there? Does your life every day and people that you come in contact with bring honor to God? Does godly love ooze from your relationship to others? Folks, we're not there. We're human. We're sinful creatures. So many of us in this room saved by the grace of God. But the first thing we've got to do is understand this word strength, Oz, as godly strength, and honor is that which we honor God with our life, and they both work hand in hand. Hence, I call it a duel, and that's the first one where we need to strive for in verse 25. Strength and honor. Here's the second one. The second one is wisdom and kindness. Wisdom and kindness. She opens her mouth, verse 26, with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. And he does, y'all, exactly the same thing. Or Lemuel, in the case of the King Lemuel or Solomon's mother. He does exactly what he did in verse 25. He uses this term about wisdom, but it's the word hukmah in the Hebrew. And it's godly wisdom. It's not being wise in your brain. It's not having the intellectual knowledge. He's talking about wisdom. Godly wisdom. You don't get it by osmosis. It's not something you inherit. It's something you learn as God's gift to you as you grow in your relationship with the Lord. Isn't that what the Scripture says? Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So many other Scriptures deal with this understanding of godly wisdom. But it's interesting that Lemuel here, or Solomon's mother, says to Solomon, have the wisdom, godly wisdom. Ask for God's wisdom. That ought to be what all of us strive for. Moms and grandmoms, we need to seek godly wisdom. My nanny, my mother's mother, Georgia Richards was her name. She lived with us on South Cobb Drive until she died in 1970. And she lived with us all my life. I never knew a day that my nanny was not there. My nanny was a big lady. And she wore an apron everywhere she went. Didn't matter. But I remember coming home from school, and the thing, my mother and dad were at work. But I remember coming home from school, and I remember going to that lady and hugging her. And when I hugged her, I sensed, and not only that, there was wisdom. I was very fortunate. Rand, here's what you need to do. She had such a wisdom about her. She was born in 1900. She used to tell me stories of the Titanic disaster. She used to tell me stories of growing up in the Depression. She used to tell me stories and stories. So much history there and whatever. But so much wisdom, yes. But this lady, she had godly wisdom. And if you had had the privilege to know her and she walked right in this room, It wouldn't take but a few seconds for you to realize that wisdom. But now, the word that goes hand in hand with wisdom is the word kindness. Now, in Hebrew, we kind of roll over that one. That's a sweet word. We use it all the time, being kind. The word in the Hebrew is hesed. Well, it's actually spelled C-H-E-S-E-D, with the C is silent here, and it becomes a deep sound, but hesed, for lack of a better term. It's the Old Testament word for agape. That's the best way I can tell you. It's loving kindness. It's covenant love. It is the love that God has for His people as a result of the covenant with Abraham. It is a pact love. It is a love that says, you have done this, I'm going to do this. And all of that is bound up in complete, total love. So what's Solomon saying? What's his mom trying to get across to him? Then in the life of a mother, in the life of a wife, the second trait, the second dual, ought to be wisdom and kindness. Godly wisdom, along with that honor of God. And then alongside of that comes together with all that godly wisdom is covered with the hesed of God, the love of God. So how's your wisdom? How's your godly wisdom? Do you ever get in the way of that, make your own decisions, and really mess things up? I have. Boy, I've gotten in the way so many times. And that wisdom is earthly wisdom, and I'm not using my godly wisdom that God's given to me. And then extreme hesed, extreme love. Wow. Those are two qualities. Actually, four, but two duals that come hand in hand together of what you and I ought to strive for every day of our life. And y'all, I realize I am a very fortunate man to have had the parents that I have. Lois practically raised me after my father died, and then later after mother died, she's had to put up with me all these years as well, you know, and still loves me despite it all. But you know, Connie and I are so fortunate because I deal every day of my life with situations where those are not loving relationships. They're very difficult. They're very hard. And Mother's Day is not an easy day for so many people. But today, ladies and guys and all of us, youth, everybody, let's strive for strength and honor. Let's strive for wisdom and just the sheer hesed, the kindness of God. That ought to be our benchmarks that are out here. And we need to be pressing forward, as Paul says, to those benchmarks. Then there's a third one I want to tell you. Write down the word vigilance and legacy. Vigilance and legacy. I love these verses. In verse 27 and 28 of Proverbs 31, she watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. My mom and dad were married over 30 years before my father died in 1973. They both worked. They both worked full-time, and they worked to support my brother and I and our family on South Cobb Drive. As I've gotten older over the years, I realize now more and more and more, and being a parent, and especially now a grandparent, what my parents sacrificed for me and my brother John. My mom watched over the household. Some of you in this house remember my mom. Some of you knew her quite well. And she was extremely vigilant, especially over me. Whoa. Mom was a very loving lady, but she was a disciplinarian. Just step out of line and my mom would come after you. And usually it was me. Anytime my mom in this church, it was worse than my dad. My mom says, Randy Michael Cheek, I knew I was in trouble. But you know, I thank God for that kind of discipline today. Because it taught me so much. She was vigilant. And the Lord says, what you need to do is to keep your eyes open. The word vigilant in the Greek means to, in the Hebrew, means to look. And it means to look at, it's actually a war term. It means to look out to engage the enemy. It's like you all have been in the service. Some of you have faced combat. You know what it's like to stand there and you see, and there's a guard posted. And what is that guard's sole responsibility? He is to be vigilant. He is to keep his eyes for any movement that's out there for fear of what could happen if you don't do your job. That is what God says. But what do you and I need to be vigilant about? all of what we said, first of all. But the second thing, do you remember what God talked about when He said vigilant? He said, look around you. The fields are white under harvest. That's the first thing. Do the Great Commission. The second thing is be vigilant. Look. Watch out. The devil is prowling around you like a roaring, roaring lion. And that's what he's doing. The third thing, he says, keep your eyes toward the eastern sky, because one day, the Lord says, I'm going to come back. And as 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 says, and harpazo, rapture, snatch away quickly God's bride, the church. And the next thing on God's final calendar, it's a big word, eschatology, or eschatological calendar, is the rapture of the church. And that could happen even before we leave here, or today, or 1,000 years. No one knows but God the Father. Ladies, be vigilant. You say, well, Randy, my children have moved away. They're married. It's an empty nest. They're not home. I'm a grandparent, or I'm... What should I be vigilant about? Just what I just told you. Watch over your house. Satan wants to destroy it. He wants to get inside it. He wants to creep in. And most of the time, Satan and the demons of hell don't knock down your front door. He has a way of coming in, just easing in the window. And oftentimes, without us knowing, be vigilant. And then, she watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. And look at verse 28. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. It's hard to preach a Mother's Day sermon without saying and referring to my relationship with my mom. It is a legacy that my mom left for me. I'm a lot like her. I know that. But it's a legacy. She set some standards down as I was growing up that I've never forgotten or never will. God set standards down for you and me. It's called the Word of God. It's called how we are to live every day of our life. So He's saying to all of us today, be vigilant, watch out, keep your mind open and your heart alive and your eyes clearly focused on what's going on around you. And don't ever forget, He says, I'm in control, I'm in heaven. Build that kind of a legacy as a result of your vigilance that when you're off this earth, people will remember you by it. Preached a lot of funerals over the last 2 years from right here as members of this church. And I've watched the legacies that so many of these people, all of them, have left. And that legacy didn't happen yesterday. It didn't happen in a few days. It was a legacy that was built over years and years and years. And now we children, y'all, we have the honor and privilege to carrying on that legacy, adding to it, changing, whatever needs to be done, but making it the legacy that God wants. But that's the benchmark. That's where we're heading. And while we're heading there, God says to you ladies and to all of us in this house, make sure we keep our eyes open and make sure we're that protector, we're that vigilant of our family to build a legacy like we have never seen before. So how are you? How's your vigilance? You know, what is it all of us say as parents? Don't mess with my kids. We take up for our family. We take up for our children. That's who we are. We watch out for them. We protect them. We build a legacy with them. How are you with that? Is that one you need to work on? Or maybe even in these later years of our lives, to become a foster parent for those who have no parent, whereby we can help them do these three things as ourselves are growing to that benchmark in our life. Ever thought of that? The fourth thing, and final thing I want to share with you this morning, is found in verse 29. Write these words down. This fourth dual is fear and praise. Fear and praise. Many daughters have done well, verse 29, but you exceed them all. Charm is deceitful in beauty and is passing. And here's the clincher. But a woman who fears the Lord shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. The word here that's used in the Hebrew is yare, Y-A-R-E. And it's a word that has a dual meaning. I must like that word in this sermon, but that's the way it's worked out. This particular word has fear from the standpoint of phobeo in the Greek. It means to be terrified, scared stiff. I mean, that's just the best way to describe it. But it also refers to the Shekinah glory of God. This is what it's used for in the Old Testament. That kind of fear. The Shekinah glory of God. You go back to the Old Testament, the pillar of light. Remember the wandering in the wilderness? You remember God guiding the people with the Shekinah glory? Remember Paul on the road to Damascus? What happened to him when he looked into the light of the Shekinah glory of God? He was what? Blinded. It is a bright, it is not a light from the standpoint of we look in these lights and how bright they are. I don't think they have any comparison to the Shekinah glory of God. It is the light of heaven. You and I on this earth, we don't have a clue what that is other than what the Bible teaches us about it. And this word fear is a reverence. It is a holiness. It's a word that brings your face to the floor when you stand before a holy God. And I know, in the 21st century, we've lost that understanding of God. Now, God is our best friend. God is our Abba Pater, Daddy in the Greek. But folks, don't you believe that at the expense of not thinking God's not responsible for the breath you just took in. And if your purpose is over with, you're not going to make it out those two doors. He is holy God. He can take your breath away. He can stop your heart right now if He chose to do so. But He won't until that purpose is completely fulfilled. And when that purpose is fulfilled, the Bible says in Hebrews it is explicit. It is appointed unto man once to die. And after that, the judgment of God. I think about those four people who boarded that plane this past week and was 5 minutes into the air. Little did they know that as they boarded the plane to go to Mississippi for a son's graduation, little did they know that 5 minutes later they would be confronted with eternity as a result of a plane crash on I-285. There's got to be a fear. Don't mess with Almighty God. But boy, we do. All of us, me included, we feel like we got the right way to do it. God, just consult us. We'll be glad to tell you. And you know something, folks? The Bible says the greatest quality in that mama is a fear of God. It is a fear. It is a respect for the holiness of God. But it is a fear for the awe of Almighty God. Because He's the one in control. Don't you ever, ever second guess God. He's not off His throne. He is in control. And what's the result of all that? Praise. Lemuel says, Solomon's mother in this case says, make sure, Solomon, you understand. As a result, you will praise God by the very fact of who you are. That's what's happened in this message today, even with my mom. Some of the things to tell you about my mom is not in my notes. They're all from my heart anyway. But God allows us, there's a praise that just simply flows from who we are. So how are you on your fear and praise? Do we fear the holiness of God? Strength and honor, ladies. Wow. Wisdom and kindness, hesed. Vigilance and the legacy. Building the legacy together. And then fear and praise. The fear of God Almighty. And the fear to say, wow. Whoa. I like mercy me. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. Amen? Amen? Moms, I thank God for you. I thank God for your ministry. And dads and kids and all of us, let's strive for these four things. They're all out there. No, we're not going to be perfect. No way. But our task is to strive Solomon said, to be just like his mama or the king himself, Lemuel, said.